You just give like everyone. What about Volca?
Another table?
I have.
Sometimes. Depends on what we decide that day.
You look more credit, I guess.
Got, like, seems like there's more people here.
We're in the huddles.
Okay, so let's...
It's all about perception.
Let us roll. Let's roll. We got everything. We got iPods and ketchup. Good. Okay. Now, I slam too hard and it's still spritzing. It's like, watch out. Point is like this. Okay. So, we, as mentioned last week, whenever last week was, really last week, but last week was Hanukkah. But as mentioned last week, the Hamachuna last week, we're going to start off now with more of an actual walking our way through the actual tefillos itself and learning about the Sidra tefillah, and then move into the, like we said, the actual biurim on the tefillos proper. So the first thing that we have to do when we do that is is to take a look. You see, today's still going to be a little bit on the quote unquote outside background level, but it's the first step in understanding what a siddur is all about. And we're going to be learning some things that that some of the ideas and phrases and words might be new to us, some of them not. But we'll give it our best shot. One thing I'm going to speak up before we actually work through the Ma'ar Mekomos on the page. Is and we're not going to really talk about it. I just want to throw it out there. We should be aware of. We've mentioned many, many times that the famous quote of the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal says that Devarim Gedolim Eina B'Mikra. Big things are not by chance, and anything in the world of Torah and Mitzvos, we know, always has a rhyme and reason to it. And it's part of our responsibility as Ovdei Hashem to understand what it is that we're doing. Again, sometimes the answer to the why question might just be, Zeras Akasiv, and this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam told us, and we're Makaba Omal Shemaim, etc. But within that, as much as we humanly possibly can, we want to try to be understanding and getting a grasp on the quote unquote what it is that we're doing and what's going on. And in the realm of all things that are ruchani by nature, all things that are spiritual by nature, they're not by chance. There's always a system. There's always what we call quote unquote a science behind the world of ruchani. It's the same way of a science in the world of gashmius. And as I guess we'll call it as beginner students of that world. So we're going to start our little journey into some of those big things. Now, just as an example, it's certainly not by accident that when a person looks at the tefillos that we have, the three tefillos of the day, again, keeping and bearing in mind all the different things we learned the past couple of weeks about those three tefillos, that it's certainly not going to be by coincidence that we notice that one out of the three is much, much longer, one of the three is incredibly short, and the third out of the three is in the middle somewhere. It's not even in the middle. It's like more towards the short. It's certainly in comparison to what we do during the morning time. And again, this is not really for now, because like I said, we did promise that we're going to just start making our way through the Siddur itself. But certainly one would want it too. And I'm going to direct you to this the very last bottom Mari Makom, the Derech Hashem, and the fourth Chelek has a stage-by-stage explanation of this, phenomenon. So we certainly want to understand why is it that when it comes to Shacharis, the Siddur, or the Tefillah we say during Shacharis, is in fact so long, that's pretty much the only word we'd use right there. Why is it by Mincha it's so short, and why is it by Ma'ariv it's so in the middle, as you said before. And with a proper understanding of the concepts and ideas we spoke about the previous weeks about the concept of Zman as it relates to Tefillah, we certainly would have a better understanding of all of those things. But that's not going to be for now. We're going to be starting off with Shacharis over here. I dare say that we will never get anywhere near by the end of this year moving into Mincha or Ma'ariv, but we'll have at least some of the Yesodos. And again, certainly just take a look at the Derech Hashem there for more of an explanation, albeit in a quick form. Okay, so we're going to be speaking about the Mivneh HaTfila, the structure of the Tfila. Okay? Now, the first thing that we're going to do over here, we're going to start off in the world of Halacha, because that's always a great place to start. life is lived based on halacha. And before we jump into things that might sound a little bit like heebie-jeebie-ish, if that's a word, so we're going to start with something that's much more grounded and down to earth. There's a sefer called the Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam was, for sure, hands down, the most popular sefer in halacha that existed before the writing of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chaye Adam was the sefer, the go-to sefer, if a person wanted to know what a basic halacha was in terms of halacha lamaisa. The Chaye Adam is the place that a person would have looked. It's an incredibly important sefer in halacha. Mishnah Berurah does quote on a regular basis, and although the Chaye Adam is a sefer in halacha, there are times, and particularly at the beginning of different sections and in different areas in halacha, the Chaye Adam will just give you a little background and explanations about certain things, and then one of them comes up over here in terms of the. Where he builds a whole very interesting picture about the halachas. I'm going to look at inside over here. It's found in Klal Kaf of the Chaye Adam. He speaks about the din hafsakos la'anos amein kaddish u'kedusha mebaruch she'amar ad tfilas yudches up until the Shemoneh Esrei. We're going to speak about the halachos of when you're allowed to be mafsik, when you're allowed to interrupt, to answer an amein, a kaddish, a kedusha, etc. from basically the beginning of davening through the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, what are the halachas of making a hefzik? When you can talk, when you can answer what, and the next thing. And the Chaye Adam uses that, the halachas that we find in Shulchan Aruch, the halachas that are paskin, halacha l'maisa, to look back at developing an idea and an understanding of why those halachos are the way they are. Why are certain places more stringent in terms of, oh, you're not allowed to do like anything when it comes to, you know, being mafsik in the middle, for example, Shemoneh Esrei, we know, you know, like there's no leniencies in the slightest bit. There's no kedusha, no kaddish, no anything. No, I mean, certainly when it comes to the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, other things are a little bit more makel, even more makel, etc. Sometimes you're allowed to be mafsik entirely. So he uses those halachos as a basis to bring us into the world of davening. And we're actually going to read inside. I want us to note over here. Again, I only brought you the first two halachos before he actually is marach about the actual dinim, but these are the background parts. He says that tefillah nechlekes ledalid chalakim. The tefillah of Shacharis is divided into four different sections. Okay, now these things are going to be essential, imperative, an absolute must for anybody who wants to have a better connection to his daven. He wants to be able to daven on a real level. It should be, okay. I'm just going to stick in a little like mustard line over here, if I may, and you're not going to stop me, so I'm going to do it anyway. The why not? Okay, that's what happens when you sit in this seat. The you have like this. The person who really starts to develop himself as a davener, as an Oved Hashem, who understands what it is that he's doing, how the tefillah works, the whole structure of the tefillah, should be at a stage, or should be able to get it to a stage, where his insights, or his spiritual sensitivities, whatever you want to call it, literally start to cry if he's not able on any given day to actually put into practice the entire world of the tefillah. A person, when he has that sensitivity, he knows what each part of the davening is all about, why it's essential in terms of the building of himself and his olam hatefillah, what that means for himself, for the world around him, etc. If he misses out on that, should realize and should recognize and really should feel inside of himself, hey, you know what, I really, really messed up. Again, I'm not talking about getting depressed and whatever it is, but he should feel, you know what, I lost out today. This is not the same day if I didn't have that experience of actually building the building of a tefillah the way it's meant to be. I think it could be true. I'm certainly trying to be down the cuffs. So sometimes we have a little feeling that tefillah is like a checklist. We say different stuff. There's this, there's that, boom, 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 boom. And you know, as long as we got in, like, you know, the basic things, and then anyway, but the effort, all you got to do is a baruch shomer, asher yishtabach, and then you're good to go. So I did that, boom, 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 boom. So like we did our davening. Anyway, it's not the end of the world to be there for like the Shir Shalom and Enkel Okein is only something you do in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutzlart. So you know what, if I take my tefillin off and I leave a little bit early and I'll mumble that like when I'm walking back to my car, or just or whatever it is. So like maybe it's not the biggest deal in the world. I'm feeling a little bit tired, so I want to run out of the base medrash after Shemona Esrei and go to sleep and rest up. All the Shem Shemayim, I got to be up and really totally awake and on fire for morning Seder. Beautiful, Baruch Hashem, at least it's L'Shem Shemayim. But when a person knows and understands, hey, you know what, there's an entire universe here that I'm creating through my words of tefillah, through my kavanas, my feeling, During my davening, through my own me, literally, me, myself, and I, a person will not be as quick to miss out on those opportunities. The mashal, a very, very simple mashal, and then we're going to jump back into the chayadim. If a person actually was building himself a house that he wanted to live in, that he wanted to reside in, his abode, okay, whatever that word means, and his, so he puts up three out of the four walls, half of the roof, leaves a couple of windows out of the walls that he, you know, they actually does make, so missing some window panes and other, like, that's like the glass, you know, stuff that, you know, that's there. The person would not be, like, overly happy to move into that house and call this home, like that. Now, you might even have, like, you might not have the front door to hang your little name on the front, because you forgot that side, but you understand if you were actually, like, were building something physical that you wanted to live in, you would want that it actually, like, have all the different parts of it. Sometimes we even might complain if a roof in a dorm room leaks on us, or whatever it is, this is not working perfectly, or this kind of a thing, or that kind of a thing, and that it's true, we should, right, like, then we complain to somebody else, not to me, whatever, but that we should, like, expect a certain standard of, we want it all to be in place, we want it all to be there. The more a person appreciates that what he's doing during his davening is building a ruchnius home for himself that he is going to be living in throughout the course of that day, he's also going to understand that, you know what, I really would like to have, like, a roof over my head, that extra, like, wall over there, like, you know, like, it should be in place, it gets a little windy, cold, without all the four walls around me, and like that. Obviously, like, things that we're doing on ruchnius levels, that we don't perceive empirically, that we don't see, and we're not feeling, and like that, we don't actually feel like the cold blowing in through the missing wall of our tefillah home that we just built, so it's hard for us to actually get a feel for that. But it's important intellectually to begin to understand, well, what's really taking place, translate that as we grow in our understanding into something that we sort of, even if we're not actually, like, feeling it on a physical level, but understand emotionally at least that this is something that, like, we really want to take seriously. So the world of tefillah, like we said just now, is four different sections in the tefillah of chakras. He adds in the parentheses, Behem neged dalet olamos hayiduim liyodeichen. And that corresponds to the four worlds that are known to those who study the study of Kabbalah, the Yod E Chain. Chain literally means in Hebrew what? Favor. Okay, something like that. So it's also Rashi Tevos. When you see that expression, the Yod E Chain, the Rashi Tevos, Ches Nun, stand for Chachmas Nistar, the world of the hidden Chachma that's there in the Torah. Now, what's interesting, just to give you a background, the Chayei Adam was a rav and a dayan in a city called Vilna. Vilna was the place that was the what called the capital of, like, the pure heavy duty intellectual Litvisha Jews that existed. No Hasidim, none of, like, the, you know, the smiley, you know, lovey dovey, jumping up and down, whatever it is. Anything else I could say, Nachum? What's the rabbi have to say? Well, any of that stuff that those people do, those people. But in good old classic, roll your sleeves up like Shastin Poskim, Litta. Vilna was what was actually called in Europe the Yerushalayim Delita. That was like the place of Limud HaTorah for many, many, many years in Jewish history. And the Chayei Adam, interestingly enough, following in the Derech of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, who himself was not just an intellectual, the likes of which, you know, history really hasn't. We don't know of anyone. Who was exactly like the Gra in terms of intellectual prowess. I always describe when the Gra was born, he was just like a pulsating brain that came out of his mother's womb. Like, forget about the rest. It was like, boom, like, whoa, that's like, you know, crazy. The person who finished Shas by the time he was 3 years old for the first time, like that. That's tricky. How about that, right? So the Chayei Adam, who was a Rav in Vilna, interestingly enough, brings like the like we'll call the world of the what's he called the Yodei Chein into some of the halachos that are done halacha lamaisa. He divides. We're going to talk about some other divisions. He says there are four basic worlds that the world exists in. The truth is, in the Rambam and Hilchos Yesodei Torah, nitzika these ideas as well. Neged olam hazeh. I put the numbers in. Number one, neged olam hazeh, the world, the physical world we live in. Number two, the olam ha gilgulim. Gilgulim here does not mean reincarnations and other things like that. Gilgulim just means the orbits, the spiritual, not spiritual, the
small, like,
what was that?
Spheres.
Celestial. The world of, like, spheres. The planets and the all the stuff that's out there, like that. Olam ha malachim, number three, the world of the malachim, okay? And number four, the olam ha elyon shebo shechinas uzo, the upper, supernal world that contains the shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Vidneged. Then number four also corresponds to the guf, the person's body, and the three parts of his soul, three parts of his spiritual makeup, the nefesh, ruach, and the neshama. Okay, next year in Shana Bet, when we learn nefesh achayim, we're going to speak more about those things. Today, next week, we're going to touch upon them very, very briefly. Those four things. Al yedei zeh, through the tefillah, that corresponds to each one of those four sections. Again, we'll explain everything as we go along. Me'orer ha-kedusha shebechol olam ve'olam. The person inspires the kedusha, the spirit, the holiness that exists in each one of those worlds. Be'kol b'china shemakushar bo chela gufa v'nafsha v'rucha v'nishma. So, in every aspect and element that he, with his guf, nefesh, ruach, neshama, is connected to those planes of existence. Va'idezeh, through all of that, Ola tefillah s'liyos satara barosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tefillah rises up to become a crown on the head of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Four sections of tefillah. Now I'm going to jump before he explains quickly in each one of these things. The four sections are very, very simple. The first one is from the beginning of davening till Baruch She'amra. We call the part of like Karbanos or Birkas HaShachar. Both of those are thrown in into that part. Okay? The second part is going to be Suga de Zimra itself. Baruch She'amar through Yishtabach. The third part of the tefillah is the Birkas Kriya Shema section. Very good. And the fourth part, of course, is the Shemoneh Esrei. And then you have, after that, which we're going to discuss also, but certainly not right now, we're going to have what we're going to call the landing zone, right? Where the plane that you just flew up in the air is going to land back in this world, and then you actually take your tefillah off, leave shul, and move on to everything else you're doing at Olam Hazeh, now that you've taken a little detour up into the worlds of Shemayim to get yourself ready to go for that day, and then you can land and go on as normal. Okay, then you have the little, like, short shuttle flight from, like, New York to Washington, D.C., that hour and a half long, but shorter in tefillah, so that's going to be called Mincha, and then you have another little something that's going to be going on during Meir. That part we're not going to speak about. We're only going to speak about the basics of what Shachris is all about. Now, he says something very, very interesting now. He says, Mibaruch She'amar, excuse me, I skipped the line, Dahainu, and that means like this, Mibirkas Anatilas Yidayim Ad Baruch She'amar Hu Neged HaGuf Ve'olam Hazeh. The first part of davening is the part that's going to be, we're going to call right now, the lowest part of davening, the section that relates to our physical side and Olam Hazeh, the physical world we live in. Okay, that's the world that we get hot in, and we appreciate when we turn off the heaters that are blowing directly on us. This world right over here. And that's why, Mevarachim Habrachos Shehem HaKol, Al Tzorchei Gufo V'Ha'olam. And that's why in that section of davening, one will notice that the theme is most definitely things that relate to the physical world that we're living in. All the different expressions of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for waking me up, for giving me this, that, and of course, the next thing, and all the things that we have in this world. That's going to be the part where we're going to speak about all of the karbanas, which are very physical. If one has ever had the experience to shecht an animal, one will notice that that's a very physical experience. Lots of blood, guts, dirt, smell, other kinds of meat, barbecues, all the stuff that go on the Mizbeach. That's the world that we live in of Olam Hazeh. Next section of the davening, the Birka, I'm just reading quickly right now. Birka's Kriya, Baruch Shomer Ad Yotzer Or, Hu Neged HaOlam HaGugulim V'Cheneged HaNefesh. The next part of Psukei DeZimra corresponds to the, again, the world of the orbits, that's the literal translation, the celestial bodies, and the concept of our nefesh, the lowest of the spiritual parts of the person. Shal Gogolim V'HaNefesh Tomnim B'Zamrim U'Meshabichim L'Chvodo Yizbarach. The nefesh and the, like we said, the planets and the solar system, the galaxies, are always singing and praising the kavod of Hashem, kamo shekasov, like it says, number one, baruch hinafshi es Hashem, Hashemayim mesaprim kvod el, uvachol mizmar hallelu es Hashem, and Hashemayim, the middle of the halalukas that we say, speaks about all praises that the world around us is going to give of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, later on, we actually learn the Pesukei Dezimra inside. We're going to speak more about that one. V'lachein nitkinu kol Pesukei Dezimra la'ora kedusha desham. And the entire Pesukei Dezimra was instituted to inspire, or to, I would even say, inject or infuse a kedusha into that level of existence as well. Min yotzer or ad yud ches. From yotzer or through the Shemona Esrei. Hu negen haruach ve'olam ha'malachim. That part of the davening corresponds to the a spiritual level of ourselves called our ruach, on the world of the malachim. Shehein mekadeshim shemo yizbarach v'seder kedusha. The malachim do this thing that, hey, if one is ever awake and pays attention to what he's saying during those brachos, this should not be a surprise to us. That's where we actually speak about the shevach that the malachim themselves in that particular world, wherever the malachim exactly are. Again, I mean, the Rambam would describe all these things, but the malachim do all their stuff, we'll call it for right now, in those places. V'lachein anu omrim yotzer mesharisim. We speak about Hashem who created his mesharisim, his servants, and we actually recount and sing the songs of those malachim. V'oz, and then, kevin shenis oror ha-kedusha b'chol gimel olamos. By that stage, we've already now brought a degree of kedusha into all three of those worlds. In other words, we've started down here, built ourselves up next to the world of the Gulgulim. Next, we brought ourselves up into the world of the Malachim and given a Kedusha into that level of existence. Let's pause, stop, and mention right now, even though I'm going to speak about Amor Barichas and the Nefesh HaChaim coming up, you realize there's something major that just took place. Who's the one that's investing that? That means like injecting, rather. Like that, okay? So in the hospital all night, there are a lot of these things, like, watching that stuff going on. And so who's the one that's actually doing that injecting process there? Who's the one investing and infusing the worlds with all of that kedusha we just spoke about? Huh?
That's when we
die. People, not right. We, all right, sitting down over here or sitting down over there. Actually, we don't want to be in here during the evening. Point that out. But sitting down over there in that base medrash or whatever base medrash or base kness the person is in the world, even in good old Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, a person has to realize that in his own little way of doing things, he's touching on things that are cosmic in nature, that are very, very significant and major and big, that are there. A lot of us don't appreciate exactly 100% how much we're doing and accomplishing during our davening. And again, I'm going to reiterate the point that doesn't need to be said. That's why I keep on saying it over and over again. And that's why perhaps somewhere back there in our subconscious, we don't always appreciate the opportunity of being around fully and investing enough, you know, kavanah, etc. during our, but it's really a big, big deal. Again, each one of these pratim is going to be discussed bi'arichas when we get it up to. And then the next level, oz. And then after we've done that, mispalim yudches, we daven our shmona esri. Va'omid lifnei melech malchei amalachem b'kadosh baruch hu b'chvodo. Then we're sitting, we're standing in front of Hashem Himself. V'lachein ehi b'chashoy ka'omid lifiha lifnei amelach. And that's what we whisper. In that section, that's us talking directly to Hashem. Says the Chai Adam, now we're just going to read the beginning of the section about the halachos that we're not going to do inside. But since each section of davening becomes increasingly higher, therefore you're going to find differences in halacha regarding what a person is allowed to be mafsik for during that part of tefillah. The Ad Baruch Sh'omer Mutter LaHafsik Bein Bracha LaBracha Filo Dvar V'Shus LaTzorech says, before you get up to Baruch Sh'omer, during the brachos and karbanos, a person can be mafsik in between each bracha. Obviously not in the middle of saying something, but in between each line, a person can be mafsik even for little things that have some, you know, small little need. Upshita L'chol Dvar Kedusha, and certainly, obviously, any Dvar Shefi Kedusha, a Kaddish and a Main, a Kedusha, those things, obviously, during that part, you're allowed to answer. When it comes to from Baruch Sh'omer and on, for Dvar Rishus, for an optional random thing that I just feel like talking about with my friend, it will become also to be mafsik already from the Baruch Sh'omer and on. And where am I? V'yaveira gedolah hirachman. That's like a pretty bad thing for a person to do. But he goes on in the next sections and it describes the level of severity of each one of the subsequent sections, right? Where the difference between Pesukei Dezimra versus Birkas Kriya Shema versus the Shemona Esrei are, and all of those halachos, you can answer this, you can say this, etc., are reflecting the what we're going to call the level of kirva, the level of closeness, or the height that a person has reached and accomplished during that particular section of the tefillah. I'm guessing we have some hands up over there. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Okay, take it away.
For no sukkah fired by holding, would that be considered?
We get there later. Interesting. Good. Very good question. Yeah, the two rolls that hold is part of karbanos for no sukkah fired. Yeah.
The non-talking.
But there's some silver that argues, so we'll get to that later. Yeah.
The non-talking thing. When the chazan gets a baruch shamar? Like
when you are. You are. You are you.
Can you have like a bad eye? Like that someone might think that you actually also like on time, like you're with like the chazan where he's up to?
Listen, it's never a great idea, like any time, to just like randomly, you know, pop a conversation when you start davening. It's like you should try to, you know, focus yourself. If you're asking a technical, like, is it considered maris ayin, you know, to talk, if you're allowed to talk and they're up to somewhere else, so the poskim have indicated that as long as it's like obvious that there are circumstances where what you're doing is totally mutter, there's not really an issue of a maris ayin like that. So people know that you know, they look at you, they say, my stomach came late, he's not one of those, right? So people will guess that you're not really like a bad guy, you're just a different kind of bad guy. You're a late guy, not a bad guy. Yeah.
So Chazar Kisaf, that also considered talking to
Kisaf? The answer is yes, but the answer is also we're going to get to that way later. So I'm just going to give a one-word answer without really any explanation. Yeah, there's a lot to do. These are big things. No question from this half? Just these guys? Oh, okay, fine. Thanks,
Seth. Is he talking
about that area?
It's like someone can't wake up like at very early
wind
for that and then say
brothels. Yeah, they can. If tzurich says means like some doing, you know, if there's some doing, you can. But there is an idea that a person is sort of like in the middle of davening, so like there is a. You know, as much as a person can be like in somewhat of a focus mode, that's great. Many, many people wake up like much earlier than, like many of us sitting around and wake up much earlier than, you know, than actual davening to, you know, say brachas, learn, get ready, meditate, then whatever it is we do. So sometimes, you know, something might come up in the middle of all those holy preparations for davening. You might start speaking about last night's football game. So that, you know, to some degree, that's like not the greatest thing in the world, but it's not as like us are really bad as other things. It's just like an Indian idea, like to try to realize you're sort of in the middle of davening. But on the other hand, you're not totally. We're going to try to touch upon you know, those things. Right now, I really just want to try to introduce us to the concept of the sections of davening and more importantly the connection and the flow and the build up between those different sections of the tefillah. And again, just going to reiterate something I said before, the appreciation that we're actually building something here. We're on, not even as a mashal, a literal journey that's taking place during the davening. I'm starting somewhere, I'm trying to get somewhere, and all the things that I'm doing in the middle are part of a process, a part of a build-up that we're having. And again, right, this will be a mashal, but the same way when you take off in an airplane, like you don't go just from being on ground level to that like cruising altitude thing where you can take your seatbelts off like in zero time. There's something has to be done to be able to get up to there, and something has to be done to actually get from there back down to landing, because rare is the person who really wants the plane to be at cruising altitude and then just sort of drop from the sky straight down into the runway in Kennedy Airport. You prefer the gradual sort of like, you know, at least I do personally, gradual sort of like descent, you know, boom, land, touchdown on the ground. So the tefillah is exactly the same way. When you're up there in the middle of Shemona Esri land, to just like crash is a, you know, probably a very, very painful thing for people who, you know, actually feel spiritual pain. Got the idea? Yeah? Well, let's say a person is so messed over physically that somehow or another he's lost all feelings in different parts of his body. La mashal. When I cut this finger off, I don't ever tell like my cutting my finger off story. So when I was a kid, I cut this like particular finger off. That's a nice little scar. Can you see the scar? Got it. It's real.
Yeah, it's real.
Okay, it's a real thing. And I got my first little pocket knife, you know, those things like you carve wood with. So me, little genius, thought I could like cut down the big tree in front of my parents' house with like a little pocket knife, so I'm, like sawing away, like whatever it is. And thanks for the laugh. I appreciate that. And sure enough, the knife like snaps closed. Like that's pocket knife do that. Didn't have like a lock on the thing. Boom, like that. And boom, and there goes like the, like, hey, my finger just fell off.
Was it the entire finger?
Well, it was actually, I mean, as talented as I am, it was actually a great slice. It actually mamished in between the two joints at this part and that part. You know, like a zoom like that, which actually is part of the next part of the story. And the but it was held on. It was what the Mishnah Chulin calls Me'ura B'Miksas. There was a little string, a thread, and it was like dangling like that. And it gets better. So the fascinating enough, where the cut was made, was like exactly in between two of like the nerve things like there, and it was very interesting. There was no like feeling at all, so I found it fascinating to look at the meat and like the bone is like a very different color than I anticipated it would be. And so it wasn't feeling anything anyway, so I still wanted to feel like what it felt like. Oh. So like it touched like the inside, and that's. But you have no feeling. It was fascinating because all the nerve things were gone. So that's when it went like berserk. That's when it went crazy. Like they're like boom, blood starts like flying out of the neck or whatever it is. So I ran inside, and me being, of course, the you know 7-year-old medic that I am, put a Band-Aid across both of them. They got my finger on the Band-Aid, and then it was very cute. You know, the little holes on the side of the Band-Aid. So the blood just started shooting out of the holes like a big fountain. And that's when I called my mother and said, you know, whatever, I think we got a problem, and whatever. The rest is history. They glued, got it, they got it, it came out a little angle, see my fingers at a funny angle, this one goes up, whatever, I was like, perfectly. And over the years, Baruch Hashem, the nerves came back, and I do have feelings, so did not try to step on this particular finger. But for a while, identifying, that's a bad sign. When you have no feeling, that's a negative. Okay? That was the point of the story. When you have no nerves and no feeling, that's a simon that something wrong is taking place. Okay? If they can put a knife into your leg and you don't feel it, there's something strange about that. Do you understand that? Why am I saying that? If we have not yet developed ourselves in our world of ruchnius, so we actually have spiritual feelings and sensitivities. If a person doesn't feel the crash, right? If he skips out on parts of the davening, right? that's there. If a person doesn't feel the, like, I would imagine that one would be incredibly nauseous if one would have like been propelled in a rocket without any preparation, not knowing what he's doing. You start off in the rocket and they fly you up to outer space, like in that like 1 second that a rocket ship, you know, can do a space shuttle or whatever it is. You're probably like puking your brains out because like you're just not, like you just can't do that. So the same thing is true when a person like jumps into davening, that's like a way too like rapid fire. Like there actually is supposed to be a build up, brachos, psuga de zimra, birkas kriyashma. You gotta take your time, you gotta do your thing the right way. And the same thing, if the plane crashes, the only person who's not going to feel that crash is going to be like the dead person who's like sitting next to you on the airplane. Like you should be scared and pained when the plane is flying down. And that's really what the tefillah is all about. When we understand that the parts are all interconnected and building upon each other, and that's the key thing that we want to be understanding right now. A little bit further, then I'm going to try to make sure we start with the Chavos HaTamim at least by 10 to 7. So I'm going to just add a little bit more right now. You know what I think we're going to do is skip over the Nefesh HaChaim for this particular second, because it's going to be harder to explain major importance. We're going to get back to it next time. But the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal is a little bit easier over here. So he, again, let's just back up. We've mentioned, I think, when we, probably the very, very beginning of the year, which means that we probably don't remember a thing. The Ramchal also wrote another sefer that we're osek in every single day, and of course that would be the Mesilas Yesharim. And the Ramchal, truth be told, wrote many, he wrote tens of svarim. He's a very, very prolific author. The Ramchal was a very, very fascinating person. And he was not only a mechaber svarim and a lamdin, and a person who was deeply steeped in Machshava and Kabbalah. The Ramchal was also a playwright and a poet. He wrote actual plays that they performed in Amsterdam on the stage. He's a very, very interesting person, the Ramchal. So one of his svarim, which I think it probably would fair to say, is a Mesilas Yesharim explained much more be'arichos than the Mesilas Yesharim is. Again, if you're holding in Machshava, the Mesilas Yesharim word by word is an incredibly deep and powerful sefer. If you don't appreciate yet, which you probably don't, all the turns of phrases and the nuances that are there, you miss out on a lot. But a person has to keep growing, you know, in his learning. We start off and then we. And Birdas are just the same way that one can learn Pesukim and Chumash in kindergarten, and you can also be the Gadol Hador and learn the same Pesukim of Chumash. And when you were the Gra and you learned Chumash, so you were seeing Kala Torah Kula in each one of the Pesukim, as opposed to a kid who just reading and translating like that. The same is true when it comes to Machshava Svarim. It's certainly written by people like the Ramchal. Biderach Hashem is a very, very important sefer where he lays out exactly what the title implies, the Derech Hashem, the whole path, the road that a person is traveling on throughout his life of Torah and mitzvahs, in a very systematic, clearly explained way. It's a must read. Must read means you must get around to reading it, like sooner than later. It's very, very important. So he says over here like this, in the Derech Hashem, Chelek Dalet, there's a lot that he speaks about. He speaks about the Chelkei HaTefillah. So he writes like this, and again, we're sort of starting in the middle, but I just want to focus on the part that we just touched upon. Ulam, however, Klal HaTefillah Mischalik Ve'arba Chalokim, the basics of the davening can be divided into four sections. Harishon, the Karbanos, Hasheni, Pesuk HaZimr, Shlishi, Kriyash, Mabir Choseo, Ve'aravi HaTefillah, U'mashi Le'achra, the Shemona Esrei, and the parts that follow the Shemona Esrei. Karbanos, HaKavonahim Bechlal, the general thought that a person is experiencing or should be thinking during the Karbanos, Hu L'Tahir HaOlam Kulo. Person is now trying to purify his world, the world around us. So the Hasir Mimeno Komashu Iku B'mini El Bias Hashefa El, you know, to try to remove from the world anything that would prevent the coming of all these, what he calls the Shefa HaElyon. The Shefa HaElyon means the bracha that Hashem wants to give us in this world, whether it be rain or food, parnasa, refuah, this, that, all the stuff that we're going to be davening about during the Shemona Esrei. One part of davening is there to say we want to prepare the ground, so to speak, to plow the earth, to plow the dirt, to be able to get ourselves ready to have a lot of things being planted and growing in the world that we're living in. Psukei Dezimra, HaKavana Behem Bechla, the general idea of the Pesukei Dezimra, is the Galos or Panav Yizbarach Ayidei HaTehilosh Ona Mishalim Bo Mesaprim B'Shivcho. We basically want to reveal, to reveal the presence of Hashem, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world that we're living in through the different praises that we praise and recount about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shezeh Inyan Telo HaBore Yizbarach B'Maasei Hazeh. The idea that we're praising Hashem about particulars that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when He made that, etc. Dehainu b'hilo l'fanav, when we praise Him, that's the inyan of Abochir b'shirei zimra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose certain songs that we're going to sing that are going to express the ideas, that the world was based upon. Now again, just if you look through carefully, that wasn't really totally explained. That's why he speaks about it, Bechlal, in a general sense. But even starting tomorrow morning, if a person pays a careful attention to the actual psukim and phrases, words that he's saying during the psukim of the Zimra, you'll notice that for the most part, really, it's doing exactly that, praising different elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence within the Maisa Breishis, within the world that we're living in. What the Ramchal calls to be Megala, to reveal that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in all of these things that we're seeing. You're seeing the sun and the moon and the trees and the wind and the Bamamo, all the other stuff that we're talking about. Right, all of that stuff is moved and is being controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kriya Shema Birkoseha Kvar Be'anu Inyanam Bechlal. I've explained in a general sense what Kriya Shema and the brachos are, but he now adds like a little bit that we're going to skip over right now. Should we do that? We shouldn't do that. We are going to do that. Actually, we're going to pause over here. And then the Shemona Esrei is a section that I left off. That's a much longer part. The idea being, once again, just a chazer over. I apologize. We're going to be caught in the middle. But gaining an appreciation, which we're going to be doing now stage by stage, of the parts of the davening, is something that is a mega. Now, if you look, some sidurim might have. Thank you for looking around. Structure of shacharit. Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his siddur has a. Rabbi Emden was one of the great achronim who lived, and so he has there's something called the siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So he has an idea where he speaks about really the same exact things we've been learning now. But let me back up. One of the major things that the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about is the concept that there's a total correspondence and integration between what I always call the triangle of the person, the human being, every individual, the physical world around us, and what's called the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash being the pinnacle of the created world that a person lives in. Those three things always correspond, not just roughly, but in every detail, one to another. You probably heard people tell you when they're giving you pep talks, every person is a olam mali. Every person is a complete world, a microcosm of the world. You're a little, you contain everything that's there inside of you, etc. Right? So the Sifrei Machshava speak at great length about that idea. And the third part that we don't always realize is the role of the mikdash, and that triangle. Many of you probably are familiar with a song written by one of the early achronim, by Elazar Askari, one of the talmidim of the Arizal, where the words are Bilvavi Mishkan Evne Lahadar Kvodo. You've heard of that, those words before, okay? So whether or not you can sing the tune or not sing the tune, that's there. But the idea that a person is recognizing the, like we said, early achronim, maybe late Rishonim, even it's hard to piece that group 100%. We generally look at the Arizal as one of the earliest of the achronim, but the Arizal was also one of the authors of the Shita Mekubetzes. He lived mamish like on the line on the fence like that. It's hard to pinpoint those people exactly. But that idea that a person bilvavi mishkan evina, that I walk around with a mishkan, with a base of mikdash inside of me, is a basic thing. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that and he explains all the different parts of the davening in that light, taking us through the world that we live in. And again, when we say the world, we have to remember world doesn't just mean the tomatoes and the cucumbers that are down here. The world means everything that Hashem created. The skies and the heavens, the worlds of the malachim, all the spirit, all these things are creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world means all of that stuff, right? And all of that stuff is included as parts and correspondence in the Beis HaMikdash. So here, for example, in your Seder, okay? So we have like a quick little picture. How about that? Quick little picture showing you the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash and how, and they quote this one from Rav Shwab. Okay, they're actually incorrect about that, because Rav Shwab was just explaining something from the Seder of Yaakov Emden. But so they got to get their act together a little bit better.
He goes through, it has a continuation going back.
It has a continuation, well. And it goes one more page, okay? So you can take a look at a picture if you want and see all that stuff over there. Good. Gevaldik. Okay. Now, let's do a little Chavasat Talmidim.